My name is Jeremy Hervey. I'm 16 years old. Today is 12/6/17. I'm speaking with Mrs. Mapes, who is my teacher. We're recording this interview in Columbia City, Indiana. Okay, so what sparked your interest for teaching or being a facilitator?
So when I was really little and my sisters went to school, I was really just like, where are they going and why am I not there? And as I started going to school, I remember all I wanted to do was be a teacher. That's all I've ever really wanted to do. You know, when you're little, you think being a teacher means grading papers and sending bad kids to the office, or, you know, the games that kids play when you play teacher. And as I got older, I thought, you know, you get into high school, you're like, oh, that can't be that hard. And it wasn't until I started really in college seeing what was ahead of me that I went, oh, man, I hope I can be what other teachers have been for me. So really, honestly, it was, there were a few teachers along the way that really kind of made me go, I can do that. I can be that for somebody else. So.
Okay. When did you get your first job as a teacher, and how did it feel to get that job?
Oh, it was so exciting. My first job was for Columbia City High School. This is my 11th year, so I remember there was a position open. It was for English and also a speech teacher. And I thought, okay, I've got speech on my minor. I can get that job. And so I interviewed for it, and there were maybe seven or eight other individuals applying for it. And remember, by the time I got home, oh man, Columbia City's so far away, because I lived in Decatur at the time. And I thought, oh man, that's so far away, but you know, I can make this work. Maybe they'll call me back. And by the time I got home, I got a phone call that said, would you be willing to come in for a second interview? I was so excited. So I sat in an office with Mr. Lau and Mrs. Reef, and I think Mr. Depker was there at the time, and it was so nerve-wracking. You're like, oh my gosh, am I saying the right thing? I hope I'm saying the right thing. And I got a call the next day that said, would you be willing to take the position? And I didn't even know like how much it paid. I didn't know anything about it. The first thing out of my words were, yes, I'll take the job. I was so excited, you know. And there were, at that point, you know, just 10 years ago, 11 years ago, there were a lot more teachers applying for jobs available. And it's been interesting to watch the tide turn. Now there's positions available and not enough teachers to fill them. And so it's a very different climate than it used to be.
Okay. Using the experience you've collected so far, do you think you could move up to a different job in education?
You know, I've played around with that idea. I think I could be a decent principal in a school, but I don't know if I would want to leave the classroom. I don't know if I would want, very selfishly, I don't know if I'd want to be here Tuesday nights for basketball games and making sure kids weren't being jerks, you know, and doing things that they shouldn't be at the volleyball game, or, you know, whatever that is. And dealing with students, I love that dynamic, that relationship where, you know, we can kind of build trust, and then you learn things and move forward. And an administrator's position, it's a lot of balancing like the students and the teachers and the parents and the community and the school board. And so, you know, they get paid more, but they do a whole lot more than what a classroom teacher does. So I respect the position, but I don't think I'll move out of where I'm at. It's a pretty good gig.
Is there someone who influenced your decision to become a teacher? Or if not, is there a specific teacher you aim to be like?
Yeah, so my sophomore English teacher, Lynn Tuscan, was also in charge of the theater and drama productions. And she was very influential in changing how I feel about literature and the performance of literature, and really kind of inspired me to, like, because I thought, okay, I want to be a teacher, and I want to be either middle school or high school. Like, little kids are great, mm-hmm. but 30 of them in the same room every day, oh, I am not a hand holder, and I am not a nose wiper. So I like to be able to look at someone and say, you understand what you're saying or doing right now is pretty dumb. And you can't do that so easily with a third grader, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't know what facet of education I wanted to go, if I wanted to go the family and consumer science route, if I wanted to go science. I really like biology and the life sciences. I didn't know if I wanted to teach math, and then I found out I would have to learn calculus 3, I think, to be a math teacher, and I said, nope. Mm-hmm. I got lost in calculus 1. So I thought, well, that, you know, so it was really kind of one of those things where I thought, I really love literature and literature analysis, and I really love plays and drama and that aspect of what English can be, and so that's kind of where I arrived at this decision.
Were you ever in a play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was in 3 plays through my high school experience, so... It was Much Ado About Murder, and then my junior year, I played, her name was Turtle Dove Finkeldink.
Oh.
And she was a gold digger, and so I had this big red wig, and we were in a hospital, but I wasn't really sick. I was just looking for a rich husband number, whatever. And so I put a southern accent on her, and I was Turtle Dove Finkeldink. Whoa. I had big fluttery eyelashes, and my mom came in for our production, and I walked right by her in my full stage makeup. She didn't even know it was me. My own mom didn't recognize me. She's like, oh my gosh, Rebecca, that's you. So no, I loved it, and I would honestly love, after my children get a little bit older, getting involved with the theater, either the drama productions here at the high school or even doing something with the Civic. I think that would be kind of fun.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular that you are proud of that relates to your job as a facilitator?
Oh man, there's a lot of things that I've been a part of that I'm like, yeah, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of Eagle Tech. I'm proud of being a part of this community. I'm proud of being part of Columbia City High School. I think, you know, one thing when I first came to the school, nothing against the previous teachers, but the pass rate for the ECA was a lot lower than what it has turned into, and there were numbers and things that I feel like a lot of things have gotten better. And I'm proud of that. I'm also really proud of being the facilitator for the Key Club here at the high school. The kids do amazing works. They partner with Salvation Army and the Humane Society, and we raise about $1,000 each year for Riley Children's Hospital. And you know, to be able to mentor a club that allows kids to do good works for the community is probably, it's one of those things that makes me really proud of who I am as a teacher, to have that experience.
Besides teaching, what do you do for the school corporation?
Well, I do the Key Club, right? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you're asking? Like, do I have other roles or responsibilities? I would say that's probably the main thing that I do outside of being a teacher, is I facilitate the Key Club. And then, I usually go home and put on my pajamas then.
What is most stressful to you on the job, and would you say it's affected the way you do your job?
I would say the most stressful thing for me is finding a balance between my work time and my home time. In the sense that making sure that I use every minute effectively at school to plan and grade, so when I go home, I can be mom and I can be a wife and not feel stressed out because I have these things that have to get done for work the next day. To be able just to put my teacher hat to the side and say, this is the role I'm playing now. So I'd say that's, you know, getting things graded and turned around in a way that makes sense for the students in the class, that they can do something with that feedback.
So, like, you're not really stressed out about the students or anything. It's,
no.
You're not really stressed out at all. It seems like you got it all together, really.
Right now. Right now I do. But, you know, I think there's always, the other thing that really stresses me out is when I see kids hurting and I can't do anything about it. Where I know a kid's maybe in a situation where they could make bad choices, and then I see them make those bad choices. And, you know, like I invest in a lot of the kids. So when they do those things, it hurts. It's like, oh, why'd you do that? That was such a bonehead decision, you know? And or knowing they're going home to a bad situation, or knowing that they're with a person who is convincing them to make poor choices, and hoping, always hoping and praying that they'll find their way out of that mess to healthier situations. I think I carry a lot of that with me. And even after kids graduate, you know, I get to see what they're doing with their lives. Sometimes they friend me on Facebook, or, you know, follow on different social media, and then, you know, the heartbreak of somebody making a really bad choice and getting in a bad car accident, or, you know, it's just like, oh, you might graduate, you might leave, but you're all still part of, like, people I care about. So I think it's probably the second most stressful. Like on a day-to-day basis, it's the grading and the planning.
Yeah.
On a whole, that's probably the thing that stresses me out the most. And making sure my husband doesn't say rude things in public when there might be students around. I'm like, you can't talk like that.
Do you think there are things about your job that need to be improved or addressed?
Sure. It's a tough time to be a teacher when talking politics, when talking finances, when talking expectations. I think a lot of people say, you know, I've gone to school, so I know what it takes to be a teacher, and it can't be that hard, and you get the summers off, and, you know, there's a lot of people who make decisions for us that make it hard to do what we need to do. So, you know, if we don't get enough money from the state, then we have to choose what we do with the money that we do have. So do we not hire somebody to replace a person who's retired? And if that's the case, does that mean class sizes go up? You know, you and I sitting here both know a class that has 28 kids and one facilitator is a whole lot better than a class that has 38 kids and one facilitator.
Yeah.
Right? There's just a different feel to the classroom. And so I'd say it's not anything that I think we can do here. I think the improvements have to be on a much bigger level. If that makes any sense at all.
Sorta.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things have changed in the 10, 11 years that I've been teaching. So there's less coming in. There's less people wanting to be in education. There's a lot less conversation about what teachers are doing right, and there's more conversation of what's not happening. So it's just kind of a difficult climate right now. But on the flip side of it, I work with a lot of really great and amazing and dynamic teachers, you know, both here and at main campus. There are a lot of really great teachers who care a lot about their kids, and so, you know, it kind of balances that out. If I worked at a school that had administrators that didn't care about their teachers and didn't work with their teachers, I'd be like, oh man, you got a pencil and paper, like, I can let me list the things, you know. But Mr. Mullet's great, Miss Salmon's great, Mrs. Reef is great, you know, they do a really good job of supporting us, so that makes the job easier.
Yeah.
So
does it scare you to see the, like, the number of teachers just...
Yeah, it makes me wonder where school's going to go at the public level. Like, if something doesn't give, I think we're going to see schools consolidating. I think we're going to see, and what I mean by that is, like, both WITCO and BUSCO are in financial trouble right now. Pretty significant financial trouble. There's conversation about WITCO closing their middle school building and doing 1 through 6 for the elementary level, and then 7 through 12 as a junior senior high, because of enrollment issues, and the money follows the kids. So instead of it being like, you know, and then BUSCO, they just had a meeting on Monday about if things trend the way they're trending, in 5-10 years, we'll be way, way, way in the hole. We won't be able to pay our bills. So you start hearing that. Yeah, it gets scary. It gets dire, you know? And new graduation requirements, potentially for 2020 grads, where, well, we don't do I-STEP anymore, but you have to pass the SAT or ACT or take a program that maybe doesn't even exist right now in a school that doesn't have the money to pay for it. Like, there's so many variables that I think it's gonna swing one way or the other. It's either gonna smash or it's gonna start coming back the other way. And I really, really want it to come back the other way.
Do you think that maybe if, like, the amount of teachers started increasing, maybe, like, because I hear a lot of people now saying that there's a lot of problems with the school system that we have, do you think that maybe they'd start looking into improving it?
How so? I guess I'm not, our school system or, like,
Well, I know that there's this thing where if there's a bad teacher who's not good at their job, that they have to keep them around for 10 years.
No, tenure doesn't exist anymore.
No?
No, tenure is no longer in existence. The Indiana got rid of that. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And so a teacher can't be grandfathered in anymore.
Good.
sure, absolutely. And you know, I guess it's so funny, we're always so influenced by the people who do bad things, right? Who are bad at their job. You know, we talk about cops, and we talk about the bad cops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the percentage of those, or a crooked lawyer, but not all lawyers are crooked, right? Or a bad doctor, but not all doctors have malpractice. And then we talk about teachers. And I think why people are so affected by bad teachers is that teachers are supposed to have such a positive impact on your life, that when you have one that's really cruddy, it leaves such a lasting impression, right? And so we kind of harbor this idea of a bad teacher. And trust me, I had my fair share of them. And I guess I always looked at that and said, okay, what can I learn from them? You know, how can I never be like that? Not just as a teacher, but as a human being. How can I make sure, what lessons are they teaching me that I want to make sure I stay away from? So, I don't know if that answered your question. I I jump down rabbit holes.
Yeah, it's okay. I think that's a pretty good answer. The last one is, what is your ultimate goal as a facilitator?
I want, my ultimate goal is for a student to get really frustrated at some point and not quit, and then come out the other side better than they were before. Because if students are coming into my room and they never get frustrated, that means they're never learning something new. They're not challenging themselves to go to the next step, because growth is frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, and I think another ultimate pinnacle would be knowing that kids are leaving the classroom knowing that they're cared about, that there are good people out there cheering them on from the sidelines, like, go, you can do it. Because I don't think everybody has that at home.
Yeah.
Or they have people who believe in them. And so it's kind of an honor for me to be that person for some of the students that I encounter. And that's, it's kind of the feather in my cap. Knowing, like, I was at the right place at the right time for that person. Because I've certainly had those people in my life.
Yeah. My sister, she went here a long time ago, and she still has a lot to say about you. All of it good.
Good. Good. I love what I do. And I, you know, it's so funny. It was, politically, it was really messy about 2 years ago. And I went home and I looked at my husband and I said, I don't know what to do. I said, you know, it's getting really ugly. But by the same token, I love what I do. And I can't picture myself doing anything else. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to be. Like, this isn't just a career. This is who I am. So, man, that was rough, because, like, it's my dream job.
Yeah.
It's always been my dream job. And here I feel like I get to really be as much as I want to be. And I know I have so much more to grow. Every year I feel like it's kind of like the layers of an onion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every year I feel like I put on another layer and I'm just that much better. And, you know, now I learn this much more about the people around me, about how I can approach things, how to not do things, you know. And so every year I feel like it's going that way. And it was so sad to think that I might have to leave the profession that I adore. I didn't, though, right?
Yeah.
So it's good to know, you know, sometimes it's hard to weather a storm, but they're going to have to, I'm going to be a barnacle. They're going to have to really scrape to shake me loose now.
Well, thank you for helping me with this. And I think that you're a great teacher.
Thank you. I feel very privileged that you asked me to do this interview, so thank you. Awesome.